The 24th Problem by Janiah Riley. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of Andrew Hussey. Chapter 2. The World of Moment.
2019. Common Earth Era. Union Square. New York City.
I'm telling you, man, I can 100% beat that dude, like keeping it 100 for real, for real. Rose closed her eyes and pinched the bridge of her nose. Dave, I know you're nervous, but please don't ever say those words in that specific sequence ever again. She opened her eyes to see her brother's face staring back at her, eyes half narrowed. Nah, man, I can totally beat this guy at his own game. Dave Strider, chess master is what they call me. Half-brother, she reminded herself. The differences must have come from his father's side of things. She looked out over the sea of concrete chessboards, so many of them set up for a new game on this unseasonably warm mid-April day. She looked back up at her brother, Dave, who was now rubbing his hands eagerly, glancing from board to board at the different sets of pieces. Most of them were just cheap plastic, but one man had some kind of novelty fantasy set, and another had pieces that looked like he'd carved them himself from maple and ebony. They spend all day practicing chess. You've played, what, once in the last 6 months? Twice? And I won once. Against John. Dave, John is so full of ADHD that he forgot your play-by-DM game and didn't make a move for 2 weeks. Dave shrugged and grinned at her. Hey, John's so full of ADHD, it keeps him on edge literally all the time. You ever see how keyed up and nervous he can get? Makes him a pro player.
Half-brother.
Dave, cut it out. You're making us look like bougie tourists. He frowned and stuck out his lower lip in mock indignation. Rose, you're a creative writing grad student at NYU. It's physically impossible to get any more bougie than that unless you were transformed into a chihuahua and shoved inside of a Prada bag that the guy on the corner swears is authentic, but you're pretty sure it's just a knockoff.
My fucking God!
Rose threw up her hands in a show of exasperation that was, at the end of the day, entirely for the show of it.
Fine. If you want to embarrass yourself by publicly losing at chess, who am I to stop you? It's not like we have anything else to do for the time being.
A long pause. The kind of pause that made Rose realize that she was, in fact, being messed with.
Man, I don't want to play chess. Shit's mad boring.
Dave, I swear to fuck, Rose muttered under her breath. But there wasn't any real teeth to it. She saw her brother plenty since they'd both moved to the city, even if it was mostly in passing, and she developed a certain fondness for his unique style of interacting with the world. This back and forth was nothing but old hat, and it felt as comfortably familiar as the old purple scarf she'd knit for herself back in the 8th grade. But still she was nervous, on edge literally all of the time, as Dave had so succinctly put it a moment before, and it had nothing to do with Dave or his usual bullshit. No, she was nervous because of Jade.
Hey, ground control to Major Rose, you good in there?
Dave was waving a hand in front of her face.
Hmm?
Rose realized that Dave had been talking for a solid minute without her even noticing. She wasn't used to feeling this emotionally dysregulated about anything, especially not when it involved someone who she'd been friends with for over a decade.
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. Yeah, no shit. I was just asking why you wanted to meet here anyway.
Jade's coming from JFK, so there's not exactly the closest point of contact. Rose stopped for a second and pursed her lips. Why had she been so insistent that they meet here? Proximity to her grad school? A desire to make a good first impression of the city by sharing one of her favorite places with her old friend? The ready availability of an excellent local bakery? Finally, she shrugged.
I don't know. It just felt like the right decision to make.
Damn, Rose! You're just a regular slice of life maven. Picking the place you first meet your old friend for maximum dramatic impact? Why bother with the boring process of waiting for bag check and getting a cab when you can wait for your old friend to walk in from off camera as you gawk and blush a little bit, your heart all aflutter with your gay little thoughts?
Rose felt her cheeks burning. Oh, fuck off.
I just thought that we should meet up somewhere important. At least important to you and I. And John is coming in too. He and Jade made the same connecting flight.
Right. Dave said, but I strategically mentioned Jade and you didn't correct me. So in the end, you revealed your true intentions to me without even meaning to.
He stuck a hip out and planted his hand on it, grinning.
Vice it, Sherlock, homo. You've been outplayed. God, you are such an asshole. I keep hoping Mom will reveal that you're adopted. No such luck with that, I'm—
Rose!
From across the short span of pavestones between the row of chess players and the bustle of 14th Street, Rose heard someone's vaguely familiar voice shouting her name. Familiar in the way that you recognized a voice you'd heard over phone lines and video calls and in Discord servers, but never in the physical space. She turned and saw Jade Harley stepping out of a yellow cab, clutching a large, olive-drab duffel bag. The moment couldn't have been more picture-perfect if it had been scripted.
God fucking damn it, Dave.
Jade was already in motion, crossing the space between them with long, slightly awkward strides. Before Rose could fully process what was happening, Jade was standing in front of her, grinning and talking a mile a minute.
Oh my god, Rose? Dave? It's so nice to finally meet you too. I was so bummed when I couldn't make it out for that comic thing with John last year, but you know how it is with crowdwork and stuff.
She snort laughed and gestured at Rose.
You know, advanced analytics and differential sorting theory and all kinds of stuff like that.
Jade leaned forward, grinning broadly, then stopped herself.
Oh, I'm sorry, are you a hugger? I'm kind of a hugger. I don't know how that hasn't come up in all this time, but—
Rose would love a hug,
Dave interjected, a smirk playing along his face. Rose could feel the blood bloom of embarrassment under her cheeks, turning them ruddy and warm. She hardly had time to process what was happening when Jade scooped her up into a friendly hug. The woman was taller than her by a good 9 inches, making the whole process more than a little bit awkward. Before she could fully acknowledge that this was in fact real, Jade had already moved on to hugging Dave, then motioning back at the cab where a smiling John Egbert was struggling with the weight of a suitcase that had been packed entirely too full. John waved as he walked up to the group, then set the bag down before hugging Rose and Dave in turn, an entirely more dignified affair than Jade's chaotic explosion of energy and affection.
Hey guys, been a minute,
John said, waving a hand casually.
Rose, why do you look so surprised? We texted you like 15 minutes ago.
Rose pulled the phone out of her purse and stared down at the string of missed notifications.
I guess I didn't notice.
Dave leaned over and elbowed his sister in the ribs. She was too busy giving me shit about chess and plotting out her gay little scenarios to check her phone, you know how it is. John only looked confused by this, but Jade let out a peal of genuine laughter and reached out to shove Dave playfully in the shoulder.
You're even funnier in real life.
She laughed again and shifted her weight onto her back foot, pivoting and sliding closer to Rose.
So, Rose, you're the one who suggested we meet here. What's the plan?
Well, Rose began, then paused. What was the plan exactly? She'd given the scenario so many runs over in her head, but it always felt so distant, so intellectual. Now her friends were standing right in front of her, and she wasn't sure what to say. Fortunately, Dave interjected again, saving her further awkwardness.
Well, Rose was just going to treat us all to lunch, and since Rose was nice enough to let y'all crash at the big-ass place our mom pays for in the village, we can all hang out there after. We can look at books or whatever nerd shit she likes to do for fun. I know she'd enjoy the vibes.
Oh, there's a bookstore?
She could see the light behind Jade's eyes. Dave clapped a hand on Rose's shoulder and leaned in.
Dude, it's fucking New York City. There's 10 bookstores within shit-throwing distance. Can't throw a shit without hitting a bookstore. We're inside of one right now.
Hey, so this is classic banter and all, John said, but can we maybe have this conversation inside of some kind of restaurant? Jade and I haven't had anything to eat since breakfast on the plane.
The answer to the question John posed was a simple one. Yes, they could have the conversation in a restaurant, and Rose happened to know one nearby. A little place on Broadway right by the NYU campus whose sign simply advertised soup, and also, as these things went, burger. It was a diner in the most traditionally New York 1970s way it could be. It was only a matter of minutes before Rose was sitting next to Jade in the booth waiting for her food, with Dave and John sitting across, playing with a pair of paper straws. Jade grinned at the two of them as she turned to look at Rose.
It's weird how natural this feels, you know?
What do you mean? Rose asked in turn, feeling the smallest trace of heat under her cheeks again. Dave's stupid fucking comment got under her skin a little.
Well, we've known each other forever, but also, this is the first time I've met you and Dave.
Yeah, well, Dave said from across the table, you did grow up on a deserted island, then you moved to Cali.
Guam,
Jade said quickly.
I grew up in Guam, not a deserted island.
Same diff. Point being, the only person who was close to you at any point was our old pal Egbert here.
John grimaced.
I don't know, Washington to California is still a bit of a flight.
Please, Dave continued. You're only saying that because you hate flying.
Jade's interrupted, bringing the conversation back around.
Anyway, Even though I've known you all a long time, I thought it'd be weird to meet you IRL. And then, I don't know, it happens and it feels like we've lived right down the street from each other all these years. The human psyche is remarkably adaptable, Rose said thoughtfully. Jade was right. It felt like they'd been together this whole time, rather than living in disparate corners of the world. Whether or not we spent time in physical proximity, we've seen each other growing up, from the hoary days of internet forums and open diary through the rise and subsequent fall of Facebook to the Discord-based empire we now live inside of. Jade giggled at that. You're still one of the funniest people I know, Rose. She felt her face flash hot again. Well, thank you, I try.
No, you fucking don't, Dave said with a laugh. You wouldn't know humor if it sauntered up in a funny hat and bit you on the ass with a pair of fake teeth.
John snickered at that, and Rose found herself smiling, even as she rolled her eyes. It was nice for them to all be together like this, even if it was only destined to be temporary. Soon they'd all be back to their lives, and then the moment would be one forever relegated to the glossy sheen of memories past. Before she could think of a suitably clever retort to her half-brother's ridiculous comment, Rose caught a flash of movement outside the restaurant. There was no particular reason why it should have stood out, and for years later Rose would wonder why it had even grabbed her attention out of all the random movement that New York City was constantly assailed by, but the ironclad point remained that it did, in fact, stand out. Some kind of glimmer of something. She stood up from the booth, sliding past Jade.
Rose, are you okay?
She wasn't sure who asked the question, Dave or Jade or maybe even John, but John felt distant from the conversation that day, strangely absent. Even as he was sitting there joking with the others, she liked to think it was Jade. It made the most narrative sense, given what happened later, but life didn't always adhere to narrative conventions, so maybe it was someone else. In any case, Rose opened her eyes, and she wasn't standing in the restaurant anymore. It took her a minute to process her surroundings, but she was familiar enough with the area to recognize it. Green Street, near the English department. Panic set in almost immediately, the raw confusion at the realization that she'd just lost time. The light was the same, it couldn't have been more than a few minutes, but why was she here? What had happened in the restaurant? Where were the...
Rose, are you okay?
Jade's voice behind her, familiar in the way that you recognized a voice from late-night conversations in a friend's group chat. She felt tears blossom at the base of her eyes and stood stock still, very much not wanting to turn around and show her friend just how terrified she was right now.
You just kind of got up and walked out? Dave? John?
Rose was trying very hard to keep the roughness out of her voice, to keep the naked panic from coming through. She was already starting to feel her chest closing in around her, to feel the way that her perception narrowed to a pinpoint.
They're back in the diner. Dave promised he wouldn't eat your food.
Rose laughed. She couldn't help herself. Something about the utterly absurd contrast between what she was feeling now and the aggressive mundanity of what Jade had just said.
Rose, what happened? Are you okay? Did we do something wrong?
What? It was just dawning on Rose that the others might have thought she was upset with them for some reason, or at least Jade thought Rose was upset with her, specifically. For some reason, the old need to people-please, born of a neglectful mother, reared its head and stomped directly down on her anxiety, and the world began to expand again. There was a glimmer in the darkness, which made no sense. It was 1 o'clock in the afternoon and sunny. She'd been sitting in the diner and waiting for an order of matzo ball soup and a glass of unsweetened iced tea, and then...
No, I wasn't. Jade, how long has it been since I got up?
The expression on Jade's face was having the opposite effect on her anxiety now, the unbridled concern that was verging solidly into fear territory now. Jade opened her mouth, then shut it again, then finally...
I don't know, like 5 minutes? You just got up and wandered out. I got up and followed you to ask if you were okay. At first I thought maybe you weren't feeling well, then maybe...
She shrugged.
I thought you were pissed at Dave or me or something. Now...
She took a step towards Rose.
You're kind of scaring me, Rose. It's like you were sleepwalking.
The word tickled at the back of her mind. Sleepwalking. Even now, aware of herself once more,
There was a kind of dreamlike disconnection to all of this, like the laws of reality were on a kind of temporary leave of absence. Maybe not fully gone, but they'd lost their ability to fully impose themselves on the residents of this particular pocket of the universe. I'm sorry, I wasn't... Deep breath. Rose steadied herself, feeling a strange wave of pressure in her head. I wasn't trying to worry you, I just felt weird, is all. She looked up at Jade's eyes and forced a smile. I'm fine, it's f- There, hovering no more than 6 inches in front of Jade's head, as if suspended by an invisible thread in the space between the two women, was a single matchbook. Her mind raced and slowed down at the same time. Instead of the scream that was building up inside herself, Rose simply let out a bemused, huh, with a sharp pop. The matchbook resumed its staunch adherence to the law of gravity, and it dropped 6 feet straight down to the sidewalk, landing at Jade's feet. And Jade, who had watched the whole sequence of events unfurl, began to scream. For the text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 page of Janiah Riley. The music is Cycles, composed and produced by Sam Gabriel. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can also find other stories that I've read, my Discord server, and ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.